to the Jeff Moore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. All you got to do is text me, and I'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Also, where we're doing this, who is the... And the response has been very interesting, but I wanted to throw it out for that reason. Who do you in this listening audience to keep up with it? If you listen to the show, you got to keep up with it because I talk about it so much. Who do you think are the most conservative lawmakers in the Alabama State Senate and the Alabama State House? Hit me up on that text line, and we'll keep this open until the end of the program. But joining us now, speaking of the Alabama House, always a pleasure to have him on, and he's making time for us this morning. He's from Tallapoosa County, Dadeville, to be precise. Ed Oliver joins us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Nice to be here.
Hey, thanks for making time. So, and I wanted to get you on, and this is really, there's a lot of things kind of in the wake of this divisive concepts law taking effect. We saw at the very beginning of the school year on college campuses. I mean, they were the two flagship universities shuttering their DEI departments, but the knock was always this. Well, they're just going to call it something different. It's still going to be what it is, and you're still going to see this on campus. And I kind of got to wonder, I mean, what's your early assessment of where your bill or your law, I guess now, is how it's being enforced?
Well, nothing unexpected. These are large universities with a lot of employees, faculty members that have some different ideas that are not necessarily mainstream Alabama ideas. That's something I'm not surprised by at all, that there's some things that we're not going to like. I do, however, expect the legislature, my colleagues, to police these issues and take the appropriate responses. And the one way we can influence universities, of course, we make laws and we appropriate money. So that's where we are. I do think the universities are doing their best to comply, and they're trying to approach this with a reasonable attitude. And we discover things they don't know about. I have constituents, and we have people that make complaints. You're familiar with the Robert Witt Fellowship Fellows Program, I think, that's hit the news lately, where you've got some students complaining about that. You've got a gender studies professor that's running the program, and everybody's wondering how that passed muster. But those are things they're working through. We're trying to clean these things up as we come to them.
Well, and I haven't talked to any of the hierarchy at Auburn University. I have a little bit at the University of Alabama. And they insist they're trying to make a good faith effort to comply, but all they sort of have a kind of a rogue institution in UAB that's doing a lot of this stuff anyway, in spite of the law, and they're having a hard time tamping down on that. I mean, is that fair to say you think these guys are making good faith efforts to comply with the law?
Jeff, I think you're absolutely correct. I think UAB is a different animal, and a lot of the problems we run into there are research dollars that are federal dollars. I think that has more influence than we would like to admit.
Is it a structural problem? I mean, you have these departments or deans or whoever's making these calls of these parts of the UAB, and they're just kind of flouting the spirit of the law. And they're going about this stuff through other ways. I mean, is there any way the legislature can look at that and say, no, you don't?
Well, once again, it's money. That's how we influence them. This last election cycle, I think, should have been the writing on the wall for the universities. We all saw this coming from a long way off. I can only think that Alabama values would sort of dictate what the universities are trying to teach our kids. Unfortunately, because out-of-state students pay more money, and they seem to be more attractive than our own kids as far as being part of the student body, their values don't necessarily reflect ours. So I don't know if it's an intentional thing or if it's just something as a byproduct of the times, that the universities have tended to reach out to these people who don't share our values and are interested in things like DEI and critical race theory and all the reasons why America should fail.
Well, and you see, like at Auburn, the story we had earlier this week at 1819, this job posting for like a professor in like all these different rhetorics, I think. And then they were all like LGBTQ rhetorics and queer rhetorics. And, you know, you had to have an expertise in that. I mean, is that that kind of that to me is like, well, there's some of this looks like it's still going on.
Well, and I just saw that actually yesterday, and I've not had a chance to talk to anyone at Auburn nor any one of my colleagues about that. I take it back. It's about 3 days ago. I did send an email asking for a response. I have not received it yet. So I'm very interested in to how they will address that.
Well, you see these stories about the one at AL.com that really kind of drew my ire. The complaint that by enacting this law, the Alabama legislature has taken away safe spaces for certain groups. And primarily they were talking about the LGBTQ group where they need a safe space so they can commingle. And I don't know whatever it is that they do in their social time. But I mean, that's not really, is that really the function of the university or anything that's taxpayer supported?
Within limits, no. All students should be treated fairly, and the law should give everyone equal protection. As far as spending taxpayer dollars to create special safe spaces, I can't say that I'm necessarily for that. I do believe that all students should respect each other and try to get along. Unfortunately, we live in a day and age, particularly post-COVID and George Floyd, where that just does not seem to be the way people function.
Well, it's just a mentality that there's an entitlement there, that because of who they are, that they get special treatment. And I don't know how prevalent that is. I you know, honestly, Representative, I think...
it's incredibly prevalent. Yeah. That's what the left has always done to try to make people, you know, you find marginalized minorities and you try to make them different so that you can control them.
But
that's nothing more than what this is.
I think these universities sort of have their hands forced. Look, you're right. There is this ever present quest for more and more and more students to the extent that the flagship colleges, Alabama and Auburn, are looking out of state for more out of state enrollment and to become competitive in this landscape of like getting the best and the brightest, they got to offer these like sort of DEI kind of features to the university. But like, we got to rein it in here and say, look, this is not what people in the state really want from their institutions. These revered institutions in Alabama that, you know, are supposed to, like, I think function to make the state as a whole better, are not really there. They kind of got a different set of priorities.
No, you're absolutely correct. You know, universities are part sales, so don't ever forget that part. Everything runs on money. Students that pay tuition are very important to them. So, yeah, they have a tendency to try to be all things to all people, or to look for those people where they make the most money, i.e. out-of-state students.
Well, it's just frustrating to watch. Let me ask you, we spent a lot of time focusing on Auburn and Alabama, to some extent UAB, which is, like you said, a problem child in itself. But what about, you look around the rest of the state, do you find pretty satisfactory compliance?
So far, I will tell you that we expected all this outrage and busloads of folks coming to Montgomery. I just haven't seen it. That may be because I live in District 81 in Tallapoosa County, but I have not, I mean, in my district, I have not heard any outrage over the legislation that was passed.
Yeah, I mean, we were at these protesters that were going to descend upon the state house lawn there, and you know, really tell you guys something. But it hasn't.
The only protesters that I saw, Jeff, were the ones that I wish would get on that same bus and keep driving out of state. They were not people. You know, I always say talk about people that share our values. That's not who those folks were.
Yeah,
you may have seen one of the. When we were talking about the Robert Witt Fellows Program. Once again, I refer back to that. When you have your class trip to Cuba and you're studying, you want to learn how to be good global citizens instead of good patriotic Americans, that's an alarm bell for me.
Global citizens is a red flag. It ought to be instead of, you know, there's no, but that's sort of just a trend in the broader culture that I think you're right. November 5th said, that's not really how the world is. And I think that's important. Like, we were told the world was a certain way, right? Represented that this was the way it was going to be. And you see it in marketing, you see it in pop culture, you see it in politics, you see it in government. And the universities were sort of following along. And then, like, you wake up on November 6th, and it turns out the world is, or not the world, but the country is not really that way at all. Do you think that trickles down to the state?
Absolutely. Alabama has always been a conservative state, but our universities, they follow the national trends because that's where they advertise and it's where they get their student body.
Yeah, well, it's kind of fascinating to watch and see if these schools adjust. What about within government? I know that this is, we tend to focus on the universities and the academy because that's where you see most of this in you know, kind of taking place with the DEI culture. We sort of see some of it within the bureaucracy. Certainly the Department of History and Archives, and they had their, like, LGBTQ history, which was, you know, my guest coming up will has a few things to say about that. But do you see the trend turning throughout state government?
I do. I think the next few years we'll see the pendulum swing back to the right. I don't see any other way it can go.
Yeah, I guess it just really depends on who's in charge of these. But that's... It's just a product of where people think that we are. And I don't know what, you know, I don't know what the response is to that. What do you offer in its place? But I guess some of the, like, maybe it's some more of the human resources stuff and the sensitivity training, and the state didn't do a whole lot of that anyway, did it? But it's certainly going to be non-existent.
No,
now.
I'm not the person really to talk to about that. That's, you know, I believe that we learned everything about sensitivity training that you needed to know in kindergarten. That's called being respectful and having good manners.
Yeah.
Just my personal take on that. I hate to waste taxpayers' money on things that are just, in my mind, stupid.
But it probably still is a thing. We're joined by State Representative Ed Oliver here on the program. We can move on from that. Representative, looking at 2025, I mean, it's been a bumpy 2024, 2023 sessions. Not bumpy, but busy, let's say. What you got left to do, you think? What do you think is on the agenda going forward?
There are some things that are important, and I think we're winning this DEI-CRT fight. Like I said, the pendulum is swinging back in our direction, and we're about to get our hands wrapped around this and handle it. There are some other issues that face our state that I think are incredibly important. Dwindling resources for healthcare, access to healthcare, particularly in rural areas like that I live in. There's some house cleaning the legislature just needs to step up and do.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're looking at 2026 around the corner, and you know, everybody's catching their breath from this election cycle, but it'll be the next 2 years. I mean, I think state politics will take a bigger role. It's hard to get people interested in it right now, but You know, we get into the middle of 2025, I assume people will kind of start paying more attention to what you guys are up to in the Alabama legislature.
Absolutely. And also, people need to realize, my constituents and everyone else's, that I live in a district that encompasses parts of Lee County and all of Tallapoosa County. We have Lake Martin, and everybody thinks that everybody here is rich and we have all the things in the world we need. But I'll guarantee you that every state representative, every senator, they're worried about their districts. They're worried about dangerous intersections. They're worried about what ALDOT's going to do next and what relationship we have with them and how responsive they are. We're worried about fuel. How much does gas cost? How much does that impact the things that we have going on in our district? So everything, infrastructure issues, education, there are just a million things that we're stressed over. And I'm one of those people that if my constituents decide to unelect me, I will get over it. But in the meantime, my job is to do the best I absolutely can to serve them in the legislature. And those are the issues that I'm trying to stay focused on. The elections right now, we'll cross that bridge when we come to them.
Well, Representative, we thank you for your time. We got to jump, but let's catch up again soon. And they still aren't seen. State Representative Ed Oliver there. I guess he went ahead and dropped. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.